John 15:10-15 says this: if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all the things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. This passage has been really pivotal for me because it has explained a lot of the dynamic between leadership and friendship. And what you'll see, this will answer some questions, I hope, for some of you as you're trying to figure out how to handle conflict. Some of the breakouts and lunch and learns I've been in, how do you handle conflict? How do you deal with people, especially in a smaller church setting? It don't matter the size of your whole church. I don't care if you got 100,000. You're going to be on some team of 10. You're going to be in small church in some environment. And then the relationship dynamics can become really delicate. And so what Jesus shows us here is what this pyramid, if you will, should look like. And so we have a little graphic for you guys because we love graphics. And it's going to come up. And what he shows us in the first few verses of John 15:10, when he says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. Y'all say joy made full.
Joy made full.
The reason why this is important is because Jesus establishes the first building block of leadership and friendship, and that is the pastor role. The first level is the pastor role, because what he's saying is, I want your joy to be made full. Now, this is important because he's saying, before I need something from you, before I'm calling you to something, I am concerned about your joy. Before we lead people, before we try to call people to a task, we have to be concerned about the health of their spiritual well-being. Pastor Conway says all the time to meet the needs of the heart before you ask for their hand. When church is moving quickly, you just need bodies. Sometimes you're just like, I need people to come in here and do what needs to get done. But the pastoral role is the foundational role. People don't come to your church to serve on your team. They come to your church because there's a God-sized hole in them that only the Lord can fill. And so they're coming because they need shepherding and pastoral care. They have to know that you are most concerned about their joy. That means that when they're the best singer in the church, but they live in crazy, you sit them down because you don't care about their craft. You care about their character. That means when they're the ones that do all the work for you, the ones you can call in the midnight hour, but you know they're not living right, you stop calling because you tell them, I would rather hustle to get this work done and you get your life right than for you to contribute in a way that blesses me. I need your joy to be made what? Full. So I don't need you living a lesser life in Jesus just so you can live a full life in church. He didn't say I need your church work to be made full. He didn't say, I need your attendance to be made full. I didn't need your journal to be made full. I don't need your notes to be made full. I need your joy to be made full. That pastoral role is critical, because then he takes us to the next place. Look what he says in verse 12. He says, this is my commandment. Y'all say commandment?
Commandment.
He didn't say suggestion. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that lay down his life for a friend. Now he's getting to the leadership capacity. The next level of our building block, that's the leadership capacity. He's saying, now that you know that I am most concerned about your joy, let me remind you of my instruction. So sometimes we try to give instruction and we have not convinced people that we care about their joy. And so they might follow you for a while, but eventually they're going to hit a roadblock. And life is going to happen. Parents are going to get sick. And kids are going to be crazy. And relationships are going to go bad. And we are most concerned about whether or not they're showing up. Not whether or not they're letting God work in their lives. And so he's saying, I'm giving you this commandment only because you know I am most concerned about your abiding. So because now I know where you're dwelling, I can give you some direction. This is my commandment. So this is the leadership level, when we start to give instruction, to give direction, to set vision, to lay out paths and courses of action. He's given the leadership point. And lastly, here's what happens. In verse 14, he says, you are my friends. Y'all say friends.
Friends.
If you do what I command you. Now listen. We love talking about I'm a friend of God. This is this, and throughout John 15, what you'll see is many conditional statements. If this, then this. He said, yeah, you're my friends if you do what I command you. Wow. Now, we are not Jesus, but we can extrapolate from this a leadership principle that says friendship has to come after and never before the leadership relationship. See, he's saying, I know I want your joy to be made full. I'm your pastor. I'm your shepherd. I'm going to give you direction. I'm going to lead you. And now if you follow my direction, then we can go to the movies. Then we can have dinner. Because what's going to happen is if you don't establish that friendship is the top of that pyramid, that's the last step in the relationship, people will use your friendship to trump your leadership.
Wow. Wow.
They will use your friendship to trump your leadership because they know your mama and your sister that came to your house for Thanksgiving, they think they don't have to follow the rules. And if you don't make clear that the leadership level is most important in this context, now when you're in the hospital, because we grew up together, you my play cousin, that's different. But in this context, I am leading you first. And if you cannot follow my leadership, our friendship has to go on pause. So you can't be late for all my meetings and we'll go to the conference with me. That's not how that works. You cannot disregard my culture and then text me later and be like, what you doing? I'm not doing nothing until you follow my command. So this is so critical for church culture because people will play what they know about you against what God's called you to do in a team. You have to establish what comes first. And here's what happens. When there is a leadership issue, you got to back away from the friendship and make sure you reset direction. Cancel the dinner. Cancel the hangout time. We cannot chit-chat if you are not in alignment with my leadership. It's going to get you in trouble. And the reason why we don't know how to handle conflict is because we're trying to resolve an argument with a friend as opposed to somebody that we're leading. And it's not about your feelings. It's not about the friendship. We can still be friends, but the leadership is going to take precedence in this context. And let me back it up even further. When people are having character issues, when their life is janky, just ratchet. I'm not talking about we all struggle. No. Their life is ratchet. And they like the ratchets. They good. They just good with it. That's not a friendship conversation. Hey, I was wondering. No. You can't lead through bad character. You cannot have them outwork their bad character. I'm going to let her serve more. I'm going to let them do. No, that's not how that works. You back away from the friendship. You back away from the leadership. You come down to that first level and say, I need to pastor you. It's time to pastor you. And you know what? You can step back from everything. I will put everything at risk. God's ministry will not be held hostage because one person can't serve. You step back because I am most concerned that your joy be made
full.
This concept, y'all, will change the way you lead church. And when people who are your friends, because you're leading at level A and everybody leading at level A together, then God calls you to level B. But they still at A. So now you have to lead them. If you don't have this thing established, they're going to be the person on your team that thinks that everything don't apply to them. Oh, because I knew you before we started. Let me tell you something. All of my good friends don't go to my church because we want to stay friends. We want to stay friends. And let me tell you something. If you need a friend in ministry, can I tell you something? If you need somebody up here, don't let it be somebody that you have to pastor and lead. Let the Lord bring somebody in your life that can be a peer where you don't have to hold them responsible for being under your leadership and being a friend and a confidant for you. Let that be something separate. You are not going to find the truest form of friendship in a team that you have to lead. Because eventually there's going to be a conflict. Eventually somebody's going to text you outside the group text. Somebody's going to say, well, what can we talk about what so-and-so did? Let me tell you what friendship will do. Friendship will make people think that they're on your team, so they are your peers. So they talk about people on your team like y'all are peers. And you have to be like, We don't talk about people together on my team. Because everybody on this team is equal. God has called me to shepherd these people. Did you see what so-and-so had? What about, and I can't believe, That's what friends do if they're not under each other's leadership. When there's a conflict, you have to make a choice. And if you want to have a healthy organization, you better know when it's time to move between these levels, when it's time to alternate the dynamic of your friendship. Because if you let it be too casual, if you let it be too informal, it will usurp whatever you're trying to do in that ministry. So this is what we see. Not only the pastor, leader, and friend, the pastor is the level that establishes trust. You can trust me. The reason why people have church hurt, which, by the way, don't get me started on church hurt. Church hurt is like a big bucket that I just put all my junk in and I blame somebody else for it. I get it that people are raggedy, but nobody should be able to hurt you that deeply unless you let them into some unhealthy place. But I'm not going to talk about that right now. That's not what we're talking about. Church hurt deals more with the person that got hurt than the person that did the hurting. Because really, a human being should only be able to get so far into your soul anyway, so that when they act like humans act and they fail and they disappoint, you can move on with Jesus and bless them and go to the next place. But this is not a healing session. We're not talking about that. Listen, the reason why a lot of times people get hurt in church is because the pastor has not established that trust level. They've come into the emotion and the experience, but there's not a real trust. They're not convinced that he's concerned about their joy. And so they move into this leadership place. He's trying to speak truth, direct, hard truth, telling people to get their life together and show up early and stay late. And they don't trust him. They don't trust her. Because you haven't established this first. People don't want to be told what to do until they know you care about what God's doing in their life. So as you're moving through these levels, I need you to understand that the enemy will bring quote-unquote friends to penetrate and destroy the structure of your leadership. He will bring them to cause disruption because they know a little bit more about you than everybody else. He'll bring your ex. Because y'all broke up, but y'all stayed in the same church. And your ex know more than you want everybody to know. And so now you're in a situation where you're like, how do I leave? How do I handle this conflict? Take the mask of the friendship away and handle it like a leader. Do it with love, based on that shepherding role, and God will be honored. Because at the end of the day, everybody you lead not gonna like you. Everybody you lead not gonna like you. But everybody you lead needs to know you love them. But everybody you lead is not gonna like you. And if it were about popularity, we would have a different faith. This is about purpose. And explain this to your team so they will know. I went to dinner. I'm going to tell this story to be done. I went to dinner with two of my worship leaders. I love them to death. They really are the closest thing I have to some friends in this church. And we had dinner and we laughed and talked. And the next day, some things that needed to get done weren't done. You see the situation you get yourself in? But because they know me and they know I'm their leader, having dinner with them as a friend, I'm not their friend acting like a leader. I'm their leader having dinner with them as a friend. When I sent them that text the next morning, dinner was great. Y'all don't get that stuff in today, we're going to have a problem. They were like, gotcha. Not an issue. I see them the next day, we high five and we keep it moving. We have dinner again, get your stuff in. Here's the thing. If you don't establish that, people will get their feelings hurt. Then they're going to say you're rude or you're mean and you're not nice and what had happened because we went on vacation together. Don't be going on vacation together if people not being led well. Everybody on your team is not going to be liked, but they need to know that you love them. I hope that helps y'all.
Well, man.